We're talking today with Kim Anderson. Dr. Anderson, of course, from Oklahoma State University, Extension Grain Market Economist. And Kim, let's talk a little bit about these crop production numbers. Everybody and their dog, and even the neighbor's dog, we're going to be looking for these numbers based on the drought concerns of this year. Your first overall impressions of what Uncle Sam came up with today?
Well, they're relatively close to expectations. Of course, the big number everybody was watching was corn production, and the average of the trade estimates was about 10.8 billion bushels. It came in relatively close to that at 10.779. The trade had it 10.97, so that's close. The trade had corn ending stocks at 651 million. They came in at 650. So they nailed that pretty close. Plus, I think there was an underlying consensus that the USDA would underestimate corn production, actual corn production. And I think reading between the line on some of the market analysts, when they predicted what USDA was going to predict, they pretty much nailed it. But I think their own surveys may indicate that we have a little more corn out there than what USDA's got here in this August report. So that's kind of some underlying suspicion or uncertainty that's in the market. And I think the trade will probably they'll trade careful today and over the weekend, and then everything will wash out Monday and Tuesday. I think Monday and Tuesday are the important trade days. Today's kind of protect your position and reevaluate the situation.
At this point, I guess really obviously this is a snapshot from August 1. We've continued to be pretty dry since that time. In fact, the latest drought monitor showing an expansion of these more severe drought conditions in the middle, kind of the heart of corn country, soybean country. So that kind of plays in the everybody's mind too, I would think.
Right, and the trade's pretty much factored in these very tight corn stocks and bean stocks, and then you got the wheat where they raised the wheat supply a little bit, and so we've got adequate supplies of wheat, and what the wheat market though has got to do is keep it from going to the coming in as feed, and then you've got some side things going on. You got the EPA and the UN or one of those big deals has asked the United States to back off of the EPA ethanol requirements. So there's some underlying things. It's not supply related. That's more demand related that has the potential to impact prices more than this report.
At this point, as you think about going forward, the argument continues. You've got everybody on both sides on this waiver for the renewable fuel standard. Obviously, we're talking about politics here, so the EPA is not going to touch it until after the November elections. We know that, but how much will the market do enough rationing, or does Uncle Sam need to step back in and tinker some more?
Oh, the market will ration. The market's worked. We may not like what prices do. The prices are kind of like a pendulum. They will swing too high and they'll swing too low, so there'll be some overreaction. But the markets will ration the supply. You can go back to 2008 when wheat went to $14, and when we was watching that market, the demand didn't even budge for reducing demand for wheat until it got over $10 a bushel, and we could see the same thing on corn here, and beans are extremely tight. At some point, demand will back off, and the market will just raise the price to that point.
Regarding any surprise to your mind that the confirmation that we've got a pretty good wheat crop this year?
No, I think the market pretty well knew that. I'd read before the report came out, both the U.S. and Canadian spring wheat yields are higher than expected. And so I expected the wheat production to go up a little bit. I don't think that's too much of a surprise. I know the market's backing off a little bit, but that's just maybe some knee-jerk reaction to that. But I think the key to the wheat is, there was a report that said that we imported 1,653,000 bushels of hard red winter wheat from Canada into the Texas Panhandle this last week. Bringing in the importing wheat from Canada, we imported corn over the last couple of weeks from Brazil. I think the market's saying, hey, you know, we're not just stuck with what we've got produced in the United States. There's other product out there, other countries that have supplies that we can purchase and bring in. And so it just solidifies the fact that we're in a world market, that we have a relatively efficient transportation system, and we can originate product and deliver product from just about any location and get it to about any location we want relatively efficiently.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was kind of taken aback when you mentioned hard red winter from Canada. I guess I didn't even realize they grew any bushels, let alone just maybe a few.
I was surprised at that myself. You know, you think of Canada and you think the hard spring and that good quality spring wheat, but I was talking to one individual, and he was saying that it was a lower protein a hard wheat than what we have in the Panhandle, and with a 22-cent carry between September and December wheat prices, and with a 20-cent premium from 11 protein to 11.4 protein, that it paid those elevators that forward contracted the wheat to buy it from Canada, ship it down, and deliver it for the feedstock, because you don't need the protein in the feed, but we sure do need it in the flour.
One last question, Kim, that has to do with our guys as they look at these markets. The volatility obviously has been there. We've seen this market, obviously, this wheat market, definitely ratchet up significantly. The mechanical strategy you've talked about before, one-third, 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 has played out pretty nicely thus far this year, particularly guys that have gone ahead and you know, got around to pretty well picking out maybe the price right around this level for that second one-third. Is this probably the strategy to hang with for the balance of the year?
Oh, I think so. We don't know what we're going to have until we get it in the bin. And there's going to be one other problem, I think, with this corn. With the drought, the odds are that we're going to have a higher incidence of aflatoxin and vomitoxin, which is going to restrict the DDGs. And you know, when you use the corn for ethanol production, then it concentrates that aflatoxin in the product. And that the DDGs are going to be restricted going into livestock, really beef feeds, because your pork and poultry will not be able to use that, and that's further going to tighten up pork and poultry feedstock. So that's another problem that we have to watch as we go over the next couple months.